Good evening.
If you have your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to open them to the book of Joshua. If you're not already there, maybe anticipating what we will consider, what we will study. In Joshua chapter 24, beginning at verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray together before we spend a few minutes thinking together about the rich and wonderful and powerful Word of God. Let's pray. Almighty God, we come into Your presence so thankful for this day that we have had. A day that we have had to study, to praise, to lift up Your name, to consider Your greatness, to be in awe of Your power, and Your love, Your mercy, to consider the way that we fear You, the true and living God, and as we seek to honor You in a way that is fitting and is righteous. Even tonight, Father, as we spend a few more minutes with Your Word open and with time set aside to sing and to praise, we pray, Father, that You will bless us, that we'll be uplifted, we'll be encouraged as we seek to glorify You. Father, we pray for this family, that You will bless us and strengthen us as we seek to move forward. We are beset on many sides. We face many challenges. And God, we need to be reminded, we need to know, we need to feel and understand that You are there, You see, You are powerful, and we lean upon You and Your blessings. Help us to be courageous. We pray for those that are grieving, not just the losses from this week, as we consider our sister Ruth and what she's meant to this place right here for so many years, but Father, also those that have gone on in previous weeks, previous months, previous years. We know that as anniversaries come up, as days come up, that it continues to be hard when we miss people. Father, bless us, give us strength, help us to rely upon You even more today than we did in the past. Help us to rest secure in Your promises and in the future You have for us. Help us to truly live in a way that demonstrates we believe that You are merciful and that we believe we have hope because Jesus lives. We're thankful for those who lead us here at this place. We're thankful for those who offer us guidance and leadership in our governments, be it locally, nationally. And Father, we continue to pray for peace. Help us to secure this and to live this and be grateful for this peace. Above all things, Father, help us to rest secure in the peace that's offered by Jesus, and it's in His name that we pray. Amen. All right, so I do hope you have your Bibles open to the book of Joshua. And we have, over the last several Sunday nights, we have been going book by book through the Old Testament, searching for the good news, searching for the gospel in the Old Testament. We have made our way now to the book of Joshua, and so that's what we'll look at tonight. Going from Deuteronomy, last time you recall that what was happening with the book of Deuteronomy was that Moses was preparing the people to enter into the promised land. He was giving them the law another time, in other words, giving them another opportunity. Here is the message of God, here is the will of God, here are the expectations of God as you go into this new land, as you go into this wonderful, beautiful land. Here's the way God expects you to live. But if we go all the way back to Genesis, particularly Genesis 12, from Genesis 12 and the promise to Abraham, you remember there Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3, where God promises Abraham, I'll give you land, I'll give you descendants as numerous as the stars of the heaven, the sand on the seashore. He says, through you, I'll make you, you shall be a blessing to the whole world. All the nations, all the people of the world shall be blessed through you. You remember these promises made in Genesis 12? Well, since that time, from Genesis 12 to Joshua 1, some 7 centuries have gone by. And that's a lot of time that those promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob had been made. And then we have, you know, Moses leading the people out of Egypt, the wilderness wanderings and all of this. And now we're finally, after all that time, we're there on the border of the promised land, ready to go in. Moses had led the people out of Egypt, but he won't lead them into the promised land, right? That's going to be Joshua's job. Joshua leads God's people into Canaan. Now, the majority of the book of Joshua is about the taking of and the settling of the land of Canaan. The first 5 chapters, we see that as crossing into the land of Canaan. Chapters 6 through 12 are about taking the land. Remember, this is going to be a fight. This is a war. This is occupied territory. And so 6 through 12 is about taking the land. 13 to 21 is about dividing up the land. This tribe will live here, this tribe will live there, and this tribe will settle here. And then Joshua 22 through 24 is about learning how to live in the land, learning how to serve God in this new land. But along the way, even though the vast majority of this book is about settling the new land, along the way we find example after example after example of the gospel, the glorious good news of God to His people. Right away we can see one thing is right here. As I said, even though it's been 7 centuries, that in Genesis 12, when God made the promise to Abraham, I will give you this land. And now they're finally going to go take it. So here's the first bit of good news. God is a promise keeper. God keeps His promises. When God says something will come to pass, it will come to pass. That is good news. I can pick up this book. You can pick up this book and you can go through it and you can find promises from God to you and you can know God keeps His promises. And so it starts off right there. Good news. The people are going into the land just like the Lord promised. Now, things might not happen the way that we had dreamed them up, the way we imagined, may not happen on our timeline, but they happen according to God's will and God's plan. All right, so we remember, we've mentioned it every week, Isaiah 52, 7. Good news is speaking peace. Good news is speaking salvation. Good news is acknowledging that God reigns. And boy, that is what Joshua is about. It's about acknowledging that God reigns. The opening paragraph here in Joshua chapter 1 is all about God's commission to Joshua. God's putting Joshua in charge in the place of Moses. He tells him what he's expecting him to do, telling him how he expects him to live and be. And that's where we're going to start. Our first point, if you will, is we're trying to go through this book and find good news, find gospel information. Well, the first bit of good news is this. You and I can be strong. You and I can be courageous. You and I can be bold, just like Joshua. And here's why. Because God is with us and He won't forsake us. You and I can be courageous. We can be bold. Because God won't leave us or forsake us. Listen to these words. Chapter 1, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. This is God speaking to Joshua. Now think about it. Let me just make a little side note here. Some of these things that God will say to Joshua, if he had been nervous, which I don't think he was. Remember, Caleb and Joshua were the ones who said, we're able to go in. Let's go take the land. Let's go now. Because if it's us plus God, we win against anyone, right? Joshua wasn't afraid, but if I had been the kind of guy who was afraid, which I guess I probably might be, if I heard this message from God, I would be emboldened. If the God of my world, my life, this universe said to me, no man can stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. 7, Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. In verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then verse 16. Verse 16 says, they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. We will be strong if we know the Lord is with us. If we have you and your leadership and we know that God is blessing you and leading you, we will go. We will do. Just point the direction. We will go. You see, so God said to Joshua, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Joshua said to the people, don't be afraid. God's with us. The people said, we're ready. Let's go. That's the way it should work. That's the way it should work for you and for me even this night. I'm facing this. I'm facing that. This is hard. This is difficult. This is confusing. And we face all of that, but you don't have to be afraid. You can stand courageous even in the midst of all of this because the Lord has promised not only Moses, not only Joshua, but you, I won't leave you or forsake you. Wherever you go, there I am. And that trickle-down effect of courage, that trickle-down effect of boldness, ought to find its way into your home. We just finished a study of the book of Philippians. Remember Philippians 4:13, that very well-known passage where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The point is, I can face the highs, I can face the lows because the Lord's at hand. The Lord's with me. I know He won't leave me or forsake me. Paul would write to the Christians in Rome in Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things about hardships, about suffering, about difficulty? What shall we say to these things? Well, here's what we say to hardship. If God is for us, who can be against us? In Hebrews 13, the writer of Hebrews is going to quote Joshua 1. Hebrews 13, beginning at 5, verse 5, it says this, keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. For He has said, here's why you can be content with whatever you have, whether you're rich or if you're barely scratching by. Here's why you can be content. Because the Lord has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Do you see how Hebrews incorporated that? The Lord said that to Joshua. But the author of Hebrews knew that message, that promise wasn't reserved just for Joshua. That wasn't a one-time, one-day kind of a thing. That was for God's people. And so according to Hebrews 13:5, we can take that promise from Joshua 1 and make it our own. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And so because that's true, this is Hebrews 13:6. Because the Lord will never leave us or forsake us, we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I won't fear. What can man do to me? So here's the first point. Here's the first bit of good news that we learn from the book of Joshua. We have every reason to be confident, every reason to be bold this day, because our God goes before us and He will never leave us. That is good news. We saw it lived out. We saw it displayed there in the life of Joshua, and now the Lord wants to see it lived out and displayed in our lives. The second thing is this, the greatness of the Word of God is what I want to emphasize for this second point. The greatness of the book of God, the words of God, the mind of God shared in a permanent fashion. Look at verse 8 of chapter 1, Joshua 1:8. This book, now this, remember, this is God talking to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then, whenever you have this book, whenever you have these words locked away in your mind, locked away in your heart, for then you will make your way prosperous. And then, when you have my word locked away in your heart, then you will have good success. Go to the end, towards the end of the book, not the very end, but towards the end. Go to chapter 23. This same concept will be reiterated at the end of Joshua's life. Joshua 23, beginning at verse 6. Joshua 23, 6. Listen to what is said about the Word of God. Now this is, Joshua has recognized that his life is almost over, right? The land has been settled. They've gone in, they've conquered, they've settled the land. And now Joshua is about to go the way of all the world. He's about to die. And he says this to the people. 23:6. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that's written in the book of the law of Moses. Know and do and keep everything written in the book. He says, turning aside from it, neither to the right nor the left, that you may not mix with those nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them, but you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you've done to this day. Now, at the beginning, the Lord said, Joshua, you better know this law, you better make this law part of you, live it, teach it, share it, this law better be you. Then at the end of his life, Joshua said, people, you know what? This law better be you. This better be in your mind, in your heart, in your life. Knowledge of God's word, knowing God's will, knowing God's heart, knowing God is to have life. Ignorance of God's word brings death. In James chapter 1 at verse 21, the Bible says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. In John 6:68, Peter said to Jesus, there's nowhere else we could ever go because you have the words of eternal life. Psalm 119, make note of Psalm 119. Maybe turn to this longest chapter in all the Bible, Psalm 119. This whole psalm is an ode to a praise of the greatness of God's word, the greatness of God's law. And listen to just these three verses. Psalm 119, verse 50. The psalmist says, your promise gives me life. You know what? Another way to understand that is this. The things that you have revealed in your law, the promises you've made in your word and given to us, those promises give me life. And then 119, verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. God, you gave me life through your law. You gave me life through your word. Because I know what you've revealed, because I can know your will for me, that has given me life. It's given me wings. I soar. I can go now because I have your word. And then the last one, Psalm 119, this time verse 159. He says to God, God, consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. Do you see the way that he equates God having given them the law to God displaying his love for them? He says, consider the way I love your law. Continue giving me life according to your love. Here's the point. Scripture teaches us again and again, and just like God said to Joshua, and then Joshua said to the people, what you and I must do is love the Word of God. And what you and I must do is live faithfully according to the Word of God. And then you and I can be encouraged. Here's the great news of all of that. The good news is that His Word can be trusted. Look at 23:14 here in Joshua 23:14. It's an encouraging bit of good news here, what Joshua says to the people. When he is encouraging them to know the law and live the law, he says in 23:14, and now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. I'm about to die, is what he's saying. I'm about to draw my last breath here. I'm about to go the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, now listen to this, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them, not one promise, not one word of God has failed. His word can be trusted. And that is good news. We have His Word. We have what He wants us to know. And it can be trusted. For that, I am thankful. Then there's this. The next item on our list to consider as we think about good news in the book of Joshua would be this. The book of Joshua helps us understand, get a clearer understanding of outsiders and insiders. Now, this is what I mean by that. Go to chapter 2 in one of the most famous or infamous stories in the book of Joshua about Rahab and the spies here in Joshua 2. But certainly you would recognize Rahab's an outsider, right? not only from her profession in life, but from the very fact that she is one that lives in Jericho. Jericho's the enemy. Jericho's one of the ones that are about to get squashed as God's people move into and take over the land. But Rahab is spared when Jericho is destroyed. And in fact, we read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Remember, Matthew 1:1 tells us about the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. And then Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, we see Rahab there, finding her way into the family tree of Jesus. And Jesus spent his time, a lot of his time in his public ministry. We know in Luke 19:10 it says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. What Jesus came to do was call the outcasts. He came to call the sinners. He came to call those that others had ignored. He came to call those who knew they had no hope outside of Him. He came to call them from being lost to being found, from being dead to being alive. And so we learn through this story of Rahab here that outsiders can be called into the fold and into God's people. But then in chapter 7, we learn about how insiders, just because you're an insider, doesn't mean you've got it all taken care of. In Joshua chapter 7, we read about Achan. Achan is an insider of insiders. He's from the tribe of Judah. But then, whenever they are told, remember there in Joshua chapter 6, they were told, when you go and destroy Jericho, don't take any of the gold for yourself. Don't take any of the clothing. Don't take any of the silver. Anything that is there must be devoted to God. It's either destroyed or given to God. That's it, right? But Achan, he saw the fine clothes. He saw the shiny gold. He saw those things and he took it for himself. And in Joshua 7, verses 22 through 26, we see that Achan was stoned and he was burned. This insider found out that he had to remain committed and faithful and loving and obedient. Jesus and Paul would make it clear in the New Testament that your family can't save you. Remember, that was one of the major points of the book of Philippians. Paul said, I come from the great lineage. I come from a family of families. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. But I've given all those things up for Jesus because those things can't save me. Our faith must be genuine. It must be personal. And one of the things we learn from the book of Joshua is that outsiders can be brought in and insiders can be kicked out. And so what you and I must do is have ears to hear. Don't just think because you've been walking into a building like this for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years that you can just coast. You must remain committed to, loving, in love with the Lord of Lords, being thankful for who He is and what He's done, remaining committed to Him. Now that's a far cry. That's so completely different from being afraid of what comes next. That's not the same thing, is it? You and I must continue to be devoted to the One who won't forsake us. Next, there's this. The fact that God is a giver. In fact, God is the giver. Go to Joshua chapter 1 again. I want you to listen to these words, how often this is said. In Joshua 1, beginning at verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over to this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land. Now, note this, into the land that I'm giving you. I'm giving you this land. Verse 3, every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised Moses. Verse 13, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing for you a place of rest and will give you this land. Verse 15, until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as He has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord has given, that the Lord your God is giving them, then you shall return to the land of your possession. Then go over to chapter 6. The same thing happens when they're encountering Jericho. Chapter 6, verse 2. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. And then verse 16. So 6:16. At the seventh time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, and Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. These things were given by the grace of God, not earned by the genius of the people, not earned by the merit of the people. Of course they had to be faithful and obedient. Of course they had to go in. They had to fight. Of course they had to circle the city. Of course they had to do all those things and be obedient. But this was God's fight. In Hebrews 11, verse 30, think about the combination here. Hebrews 11, 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, if we stopped there, we might think that all they had to do was just stand there and look. But it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Notice this. After they had been encircled for 7 days. There's that combination. The Lord says, I'm giving you this. You could never get this on your own. The walls are too tall, too thick. The people are too many. Their army is too great. You could never do this on your own. I'm giving it to you. But you have to do this. You have to circle for 6 days once a day. You have to circle for seven times on the seventh day. I'm giving it to you, but you must be obedient. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, there's that repeated refrain of the fact that we are saved by grace through faith. But you notice there in Ephesians 2:10, it says you've been saved in all these ways to be God's workmanship, created for good works in Him. He expects a life. He expects a life of obedience, a life of trust, a life given to Him, an outward devotion clearly seen in what is done. Just like we read in Hebrews 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were obedient to God, after they had done what God demanded, after they'd encircled for 7 days. God is a giver. He wants to bless. He wants to enrich. He wants to lift up. But He calls upon us to be faithful and obedient. This is the next thing that I want you to consider. The final thing is the idea that God not only is a giver, but specifically He wants to be a giver of rest. Chapter 1, look at verse 13. 1:13. Remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest. And then verse 15. Until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as He has to you. Then 11:23, this is going to be continued, a repeated refrain. 11:23. Joshua took the whole land according to all the Lord had spoken to Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to the tribal allotments. And the land had rest from war. Then there's 21:44. 21:44. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as He had sworn to their fathers. 22, verse 4. Now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers, just as He promised them. Therefore turn and go to your tents in the land where your possession lies. And then finally, 23:1. A long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, is when Joshua summoned all Israel. So here's the point. God said, be faithful, be obedient, listen, trust, go where I say, do what I say, be bold, and you will have rest. And then we see the conclusion of those things at Joshua 23. There's Joshua, this man who had been that young fighter, that young, passionate, emboldened warrior who was ready to go with Moses into the land. We can go. Let's go fight. He goes from being that young man who was so encouraged to being this older man who'd lived a long, long life, and he'd been faithful to the Lord at every turn. And there he is with rest on every side, peace surrounding him, about to go the way of all the earth, just the way the Lord had intended. His faithfulness and His godly leadership led to godly rest. But it wasn't the ultimate rest. It wasn't the end of all things. It wasn't the end-all, be-all. There's another kind of rest. There's a greater kind of rest that can only be found in Jesus that we learn about through Joshua. We're brought to, we're introduced to it through Joshua, but we learn that there's something more. Go with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, real quick. Hebrews 4. Because the Bible makes reference here in the New Testament to this account of Joshua. Hebrews 4, verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, meaning ultimate, final, if he had given them, if Joshua had provided the rest, then God wouldn't have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Jesus would say in Matthew 11:28, we made reference to this morning, but I want to focus specifically on the idea of rest here. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Listen to what Jesus said. "If you come to me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You see, Joshua gave his life to winning the battles and fighting the fights so that they could have rest. They wanted to just fight the next fight so that the next day there wouldn't be a fight to have, that they could finally kick back and rest and relax and enjoy the fruits of God's blessings. And Joshua got to see that. But what the Lord emphasizes again and again and again is that as great as that was just a foretaste. That was just a small, small sample of what can be offered, what can be found with the rest that's found in Jesus. And so we close with this. We started our time together tonight in Joshua 24. We'll end in Joshua 24. Where Joshua, before he passes away, says, look, you've got lots of choices. You got lots of options out there. You could follow this, you could follow that, you could go after this idea, this philosophy, this God, that God. He says, but there's only one true and living God. And the choice that we have made is to follow the Lord, the God of Israel. And I want you to see what the people said in 24:24. In 24:24, the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." I wonder if we are willing to join with them and say this: "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." The Lord is calling upon you to come to Him, to follow Him, to obey Him. Jesus Himself would say, "I am the one who can give you rest." When you are battling, when you are fighting, when you are in turmoil, the one place to find rest is in the Lord Jesus the Christ. He beckons you even tonight. He calls you even tonight to come into a place of ultimate rest, peace that can only be found with Him. If you are struggling, if you are fighting, if you are languishing, if you are wandering in a wilderness, the Lord calls you home. We learn from the good news, the gospel found in Joshua, that the Lord gives the victory. He won't leave you, He won't forsake you, but He calls you to come to Him. Won't you do so while we stand and sing together?